The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We serve a God who became flesh and know our pain, know our sorrow, and certainly know our wounds. Our God is man of God, the human God, the God who became flesh to walk among us. There is no other God like our God. He's unique, he's special, and he knows every pain that we bear. That's the difference. You can't even argue the point. You let folks believe what they want to believe, and after you've made your point. And so today, I want to let you see a little bit about our Jesus, God in flesh. Next slide. Next slide, please. And so as my sermon title say, one betrayed him and one denied him. Judas betrayed Jesus and Peter denied him. But there were two different human beings, just like us, with our weaknesses and our strengths. Yet on that night, starting with Thursday night, these two men would do something different to Jesus. Amen? Next slide. As I heard the scripture read, I wanted to put this picture up. I put it up today. One would know that they had denied the Lord by a cock crowing. We know the story well, right? Jesus had predicted it. And if I was to ask the question, I would hope everybody could raise their hand here, except the babies, to say which one heard the cock crowing. And if you don't know it, I would have to charge you. Because we have heard this over and over again, haven't we? Right? And we know that the other one, I'm not even giving them names, had what? 30 pieces of silver. I could recite these stories now, and I ought to. It'd be a shame if I don't know it, wouldn't it? I read it so many times. Every year we read it, right? And so we know that Peter, the cock crowed three times, and Judas Iscariot had the bag of money. And so here we are. Next slide. And as I begin to tell you the story, it says here, betrayed by Judas, denied by Peter, abandoned by the 11, forsaken by God, darkness, you get 1 hour and then you die. That was Jesus on the cross. He was even abandoned by God for that moment. Remember, his first word on the cross was, my God, why have thou forsaken me? The other day, I forgot that, and I thought the first word was, Father, forgive them. I think that was the second word. This is the first word. But whatever, there were 7 words. My God, why have thou forsaken me? Can you imagine the state Jesus was in? Could you imagine? It is, you know, when we remember these things, I'd like to bring to your attention that Jesus is no longer suffering. We feel bad about it because we see the story. But it's been finished over 2,000 years ago, right? Every now and then I have to remind myself. When I get overwhelmed on Easter, on Good Friday, I get overwhelmed. Reverend Kim, I see. If I go to a service and I see the suffering and the nail in his hands and all of that and the blood dripping, I get so overwhelmed. But he's not suffering anymore. It's for us now. It's for us. He has done it so that we could get the gift. Jesus is in no more pain, other than when we suffer, his heart breaks for us. But physically, remember at the very end, he said, into your hands I commit my spirit, or commend. He's pain-free, except for us. And so we can look at the story from a different point of view now. Next slide. So the question I want to ask tonight, the point I want to submit to you, as I say, one betrayed him and one denied. And in my research, I learned something sometimes, or it came to my attention. The question is, why did Judas betray Jesus? You know, sometimes we read that in the Bible, it said somewhere that he was going to, he's supposed to, but we never read the rest of it. There's a lot more in it. So I found a little bit in my research. The first point, Judas had little or no personal relationship with Jesus. The writer says, first, although Judas was chosen to be one of the 12, all scriptural evidence points to the fact that he never believed Jesus to be God. Judas never believed Judas to be God. Not that he didn't believe, as the next point will say. Second point, Judas was the one, he had been chosen. He had been chosen to come along after the others, but he never really believed that Jesus was God. They cannot find that nowhere in the script, in the narrative. Nowhere in the Bible is it said. And it continues, additionally, the only documented dialogue between Jesus and Judas involves Judas being rebuked by Jesus after his greed-motivated remark to Mary. Do you not remember that? When Mary was anointing Jesus to burial, Judas was the one who said, are you spending all that money and oil to anoint him? You could do better with that money. And if you want to fact check me, it's John 12:1-8. Right? So Judas was always looking out for the money. Judas's denial of his betrayal and the betrayal of itself came about because Judas really did not think he was the Messiah. The next point will make it clear. Number two, Judas even may not have been convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, as Judas understood it, he did not think he was the Messiah, because he believed that the Messiah would come to capture Rome, right? And he didn't see it. Unlike the other disciples that called Jesus Lord, Judas never used this title for Jesus, and instead he called him Rabbi, which acknowledged Jesus as nothing more than a teacher. So Judas believed that Jesus was a teacher. He was rabbi, like all the other teachers. He did not believe he was Lord. While the other disciples at times made great professions of faith and loyalty, Judas never did so and appears to have remained silent. Of course, the same holds true for us. If we fail to recognize Jesus as God incarnate, and therefore the only one who can provide forgiveness for our sins and the eternal salvation that comes with it, we will be subject to numerous other problems that stem from our worldview. If we are the same and do not understand that Jesus is our Lord, there are many who just believe that Jesus is just a teacher, or Jesus was just a moral man, or Jesus was just a good man, And the same thing will happen to us. Number three, and how true this is, all the Gospels will say this, Judas was consumed with greed. Judas was consumed with greed to the point of betraying the trust of not only Jesus, but also his fellow disciples. Did it change it? Yes. His fellow disciples. As we see it in John 12, 5 to 6, Judas may have desired to follow Jesus simply because he saw the great following and believed he could profit from collections from the group. You know, it's not hard for us to believe that, because we know that there are many folks on TV who are speaking about Jesus and calling Jesus, and it's only money making for them. I don't know why we get so, the Bible is a narrative telling us the story of what has happened. There are weak people, strong people, crooks, robbers, killers, murderers, rapers, all in the Bible. Trust me. Try reading it, you'll see. Right from Genesis to Revelation. So Judas had a lot of flaws. And theologians believe he saw all the crowds following Jesus and those who were taking up the money because for the ministry. Remember, it was a ministry. And Judas thought he could what? Get some of the money. Like some of the folks on TV, you know, they tell you that, you know, if you follow them, you know, they'll heal you. And they make people come on the stage or whatever they have, and they bring false wheelchairs and put them in it, and then they knock them over and people pay to be healed, and they never get healed. Still happening. The fact that Judas was in charge of the money bag for the group would indicate his interest in money. So Judas, with his weaknesses, doesn't mean that he couldn't have been forgiven by the Lord. Doesn't mean that. But Judas never asked for forgiveness. Judas then committed suicide by hanging. When he realized that they had arrested Jesus, that he had betrayed him, and they came, he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And why he went to hang himself is because he knew they were going to come after him. Judas. We have to ask ourselves sometimes, which one are we? Next slide. The picture of the next slide shows Judas in a tree. That's where they said that he hanged himself in a tree. Now, to betray, what does it mean to betray? It's giving information to an enemy, right? Give it about someone. That's what Judas did. He sold Jesus out to the enemy just for 30 pieces of silver. Next slide. Now we have Peter. Blessed Peter. Peter with his weaknesses, just like me. First point, Peter's denial was based partially on weakness, the weakness born out of human frailty. Peter had a human weakness. After the Last Supper, Jesus took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to await his arrest. He told them to stay awake and pray, and while he went off to pray alone. But they could not keep up. None of them could. And when he returned to them, he found them sleeping. And he warned Peter to stay awake and pray because although his spirit might be willing, his flesh is weak. But Peter fell asleep again. And by the time the soldiers had come to arrest Jesus, he was asleep. And we know what Peter did. When he woke up, he took out his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus, one of the soldiers. Second point, a second reason for Peter's failure was fear. Peter was full of fear like anyone would have, I believe. To his credit, although all the soldiers had, all the others had fled, we see that in Mark 14:50, Peter still followed Jesus after his arrest, but he kept his distance so as not to be identified with him. See that in Mark 14:54. There's no question that fear gripped him. From the courtyard, he watched Jesus being falsely accused, beaten, and insulted. Peter was afraid Jesus would die, and he was fearful for his own life as well. He was afraid, just like any of us. Number three, Peter quickly found he wasn't nearly as bold and courageous as he proclaimed. You know, sometimes when we're in familiar crowds, we got a big mouth. You know when they say you got a big mouth, you know what I mean, right? When you're in a familiar crowd, you could talk up like you're so bad and strong, you know what I mean? And then let you be in a group of folks that you don't know, and they're bigger and stronger than you, right? You start trembling. You know what I'm saying, friends. Like when we're here. If you ever go to meetings, you go to meetings sometimes in churches and so forth, and people start yelling and arguing with each other, but you just take them and put them in Queens somewhere, or Brooklyn. Right? You see what happens, you know, out of their realm. When people get like heated with me or in something, I say to myself, it's just because they're in their little circle, right? So that was happening with Peter. Peter was bold, and Peter could speak, and he would talk up. You know how many times Jesus had to tell Peter? One time he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan," right? Because Peter was always ready for a punch, but when the rubber hit the road, you know when the rubber hits the road? Young people don't know that saying. You got new sayings. You know, I don't know the new sayings. I'm aging myself. But when the rubber hit the road, Peter started running. I would have run myself, right? Because what are you going to do? Amen? So Peter found himself that he wasn't. But what did Peter do afterwards? What did Peter do? Peter broke down and wept. Next slide. Peter broke down and wept. That's the difference between Judas and Peter. Because with God, sin is sin. God was not looking at Judas's sin any bigger, any worse than he was looking at Peter's. Right? But Peter wept. Peter just, he was so broken of what he had done when he realized it. Because they all saw him, and the maids saw him, and they said, "You were the one." Right at the fire, "You were the one." And he said no, and he said it once. And then another person came and says, "Weren't you with that man, that prophet?" And he said no, because he's scared. And a third one came and says, "Weren't you?" And he said no. When he realized, when he heard the cock crowing 1, 2, 3 times, he cried. That's the heart of a man who had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he realized that he had what? Denied Christ. Friends, it's okay to sin. Sin isn't good, but it's okay if we do sin, I should say, that we understand that what? There is forgiveness. And we could go to the Lord for forgiveness at all times, any place. Next slide. Here we see Peter. Now, friends, on the cross, there were two thieves. One rejected him and one accepted him. It's to show you that at any point in time, Jesus is ready to receive us. Right? He didn't necessarily know these thieves. One was on the right. I think his name was Demas or something like that. He's a saint now. Saint Demas, same. He has become in the Roman Catholic. You know, there's a lot of saints. We're all saints. You know, we Methodists, we make everybody a saint. Every person is a saint. You don't have to go through any lot of things, you know. We figure out that we wouldn't pass it all, so we might as well be saints. But he was on the right, and Jesus was on, and the other one was on the left. I forgot his name now. And right there, at the point of death, he realized that this Savior, this man must be what? Special. Might not have known how special he was, but he realized that. And he asked him, right, will you remember me when you are in paradise? Oh, what a word for us. Right? And one would hope that Jesus be on the cross, stretched wide, broken, his hands nailed to the cross. Right? They had beat him. He was thirsty. We know after that he wanted something to drink. Yet he took the moment to turn to this man on the cross and says, today you will be with me in paradise. That means your sins are forgiven. One writer says that man didn't even need to be baptized. Jesus accepted him right there on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. He accepted him at that moment to the point of death. I always say, to your last breath, you could ask Jesus for forgiveness. We don't have to wait for our last breath because not all of us are going to know what was going on to our last breath. But there's hope for us. Right? There's hope for us to our last breath. Jesus, forgive me. Because Jesus looks at the heart. He accepted him into his kingdom. So friends, the questions are for you and me. I left out there are questions for you and for me tonight. So my questions to all of you tonight, each and every one of us, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Like the thief on the right, have you accepted him? Have you contemplated during Lent? Have you read the words and prayed and have accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Because you know what? It's never too late. The third point. Do you have a personal relationship with Christ, with Jesus Christ? A personal relationship means that do you pray to him? Do you read his word? Right? Do you understand how much he loves you? You can't just come to church and just do it once and then you're done. It's about building a relationship. And Jesus doesn't need that much to build a relationship. He doesn't want you have to take him out to dinner. He doesn't want you have to take him out on a trip. Right? You don't need for you to buy new clothes. You know what I mean? I don't date anymore because I haven't found anybody to date me. But when that happens, you know, I know it's Good Friday and I should be crying, but Jesus isn't in pain anymore. I told you that already. And he knows that I'm looking to one side of my eye and smiling, trying to do my hair and make me look younger. But it costs money to have a date, right? But with Jesus, you don't need any money. Reverend Kim, you don't need anything. You come as you are. You know what I'm saying? Come as you are. And Jesus will accept you. Just as we are. And don't you laugh, Zamzam. You don't need a date. You just come as you are. You don't have to figure out what restaurant it is, how much it's going to cost, who's going to pay the bills, all that new things going on now. In my days, you know, the gentleman always paid the bill. Now you have to figure out who's going to pay. But Jesus doesn't care if you have a dime. You come as you are. Jesus, remember, friends, tonight, Jesus loves you. Amen. He loves us so much, huh? He loves us. He loves you and he loves me. And today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. We have never accepted him. We just say, yes, Lord. Right? He doesn't need a book. He doesn't need a story. He don't need our degrees. He doesn't care. What a Savior, friends. What a Savior we had. Just as I am without one plea, the songwriter says. Just one plea. Just as I am. without one plea, Lord God, that you will come and you will take me, Jesus, just as I am. Right? Don't have to explain. I'm just going to find that song, and so I could remember the words. I should always memorize all of them, but they're so hard to memorize all of them all the time, you know. But that's a beautiful song. And Jesus told the man on the cross just that. Exactly, he took him just that way, friends. So young people who are here tonight, some of the younger folks who are here tonight, maybe I've been in the church a longer time than you have been, right? And I've journeyed with Jesus longer. But guess what? The words are for you. Length of time doesn't matter. Right? Length of time doesn't matter. You just have to say yes to Jesus. And the word says here, the first word, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me to come, O Lamb of God, I come. The Lamb of God who was crucified for us once and for all. The Hebrew writer said, the Hebrew text says what? He became the great high priest that entered the Holy of Holies once and for all and sat down at the right hand of God the Father, making intercessions for you and me. And all we have to do is come to him just as we are. If I could get in, then you can get in. Because I'm nothing special. You know, I'm a little bit nutty sometimes. So I'm not special, you know. My resume is not all that grand. Yet God would take me in and make me one of his special children. For you're all special. Oh, glory to God tonight. I don't want to dance. It's time to go home. But just bless his name. We just give him thanks and praise tonight. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And I know that he holds my hand. He holds your hand and my hand tonight, friends. We don't need a lamb anymore. We don't need any blood on the door. We don't need that. It's all done in Leviticus. We have got the Lamb of God sacrificed once and for all. Oh, glory to God. Let me stop, church, so we could go home. Oh, glory to God. So we thank him tonight, friends. Thank him for what he has done. And thank him for what he continues to do. Amen.
Amen.
All are welcome. All are welcome. Hallelujah.